Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com. This episode of Cherry's World Podcast is presented by Away Travel. Quite simply, Away makes everything you need for a trip away. Away started with the perfect suitcase and then built from there, creating a range of traveling standards developed from travel stories of friends and seatmates. Their pieces aren't smart, they're thoughtful, with features that solve travel problems to give the world access to better traveling standards. Away took the direct-to-consumer approach by lowering prices, and the quality is guaranteed. Your Away suitcase will be with you for life. We teamed up with Away at Podgo to give you the best deals on premium luggages by going to podgo.co/away. That's podgo.co/away. Away Travel, here to make your journey seamless.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Hey, and welcome to Cherry's World Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Cherry Johnson, and that is our other host, Mr. Courtney Blackman. Today, I'm geeks up, and let me explain to you why. My girl crush is here, y'all. Before Beyonce, this was my girl crush. She was my Beyonce. She is one of the founding members of the legendary group En Vogue. She was also a member of Lucy Pearl. That's right, Ms. Dawn Robinson is here today, coming to tell us all about what she got going on. She got a book coming out, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna buy two. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this episode.
This is Cherry's World.
There is an internet radio station that's generating a lot of buzz. The website is RaiseJukebox.com. What's different is it features a mix of new and throwback jams across many genres. The first Sunday each month, there are live shows with celebrity and artist interviews. Log in to RaiseJukebox.com. Press play and turn the volume up. That's right, RaiseJukebox.com.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Dawn, thank you so much for being here today. I am
excited.
Thank you so much, Cherry.
No, it's amazing. Dawn, what you don't know, and I'm just going to come on out, I'm a fangirl, and I have had a crush on you since I was a very young little girl.
Oh my gosh, wow, thank you so much. That's very special. I appreciate it. That means a lot.
Absolutely. You were my Beyonce.
Wow. Got it. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you.
A lot.
Yes. In a time when I was, looking at beautiful women on TV, it was like you were in this group full of glamorous, beautiful ladies. But I was like, that's who I want to be. Something about Dawn. When I grow up, you ooze sex.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Hopefully without trying too hard, you want it to be natural. You don't want to try to be sexy. You either got it or you don't. So thank you. I appreciate that. Big time.
You absolutely got it. And you've always, to me, have come off just completely confident and gorgeous. I grew up in a time in the 90s when women were like this big. And I wasn't. I had these boobs and I didn't know what to do with them. So I was trying to hide them. and I had a little waist. I never had a booty. But you had that hourglass shape, which made me feel to go ahead and, you know, not hide what I got going on so much anymore.
Exactly. Well, when I first started, so sorry, Courtney, just to be a little bit graphic, I was a B cup when I started with En Vogue. Very, you know, 32 or 34 B. I am now a triple D. And they are natural and they keep growing. So yes. I was small back then. Whatever, Courtney. Oh,
that's a good thing.
It's hard. No, it's not a good thing because you can't exercise. You can't dance. You can't, you know, it's cumbersome and they're heavy. So it's heavy on my neck. I mean, all of that. It's a problem. It doesn't seem like it for a guy. So I know what you're saying. But so I was a lot smaller then, but I was never. I kind of just had this natural confidence about myself. I don't know where I got it from, because when I look back at my videos and live performances, even on the MTV Awards or the VH1 Awards or the Soul Awards, Soul Train Awards, I became a person that I didn't know that I was. In other words, I wasn't confident in my natural self. I wasn't confident outright. But when I hit the stage, it's like lights on, camera, action for me. So thank you, Sherry. I'm glad that you saw something that I wasn't even aware of. I see it now as I look at myself, but it wasn't something I was conscious of. You know what I mean? It wasn't like,
well,
yeah, thank you.
I'm right behind you. I got a double D now.
I'm triple.
When I was young, though, I had these things that came out of nowhere, and it meant so much to me. I don't think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, thank you. You never know. You have no idea how the world is looking at you. You may feel a certain thing in your body and your mind about yourself, but you don't know how people feel about you until now. I'm hearing people express themselves because of social media. They're talking to me directly. And I feel that. So thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you. I got a chance to almost meet you once, but I was so shy. I couldn't say anything.
Really?
And Ed Hunter's wedding. I was one of the maid of honors. And you walked by and I just about died.
Whose wedding is that? Whose wedding?
Ed Hunter. I think he used to be one of your security guards.
Oh, yes, exactly. He was a friend of my ex-husband, actually.
Oh, okay.
Or actually, this was probably my boyfriend, Chris. I think that's how I met Ed and his wife. Yes, yes. Oh, my God. Yes. You were there.
I was one of the maid of honors, and you walked by, and I just about died because I wanted to just spill my guts. But I was like, I'm not going to do that to her right now.
Oh, I wish you would have said hello. I mean, because your face looks familiar anyway. Aren't you an actress? You did some acting. Yes, okay. Thank you. So you have a successful career already. I just wish we would have said hello, because you probably could have hung out, you know, and you never know.
I was too giddy. I could have never done it. Let's go back to when you first started. How old were you when En Vogue got started?
I was 21 years old when En Vogue got started for the audition. I was 21 years old, young and not knowing who I am. You think you know everything when you're in your 20s, but I really did not. None of us did. Cindy, Maxine, Terry. Cindy and Maxine are still 4 years older than me and Terry. Terry is 2 years older than me. So let's see. I was 21. Terry was 22 or 23. And then Cindy and Maxine were 28 or 27, something in there. So we were all in our 20s, innocent, not knowing anything about the business that we were getting into, you know. And they saw us coming a mile away because they knew our personalities were not going to be the ones to say very much. We were docile and quiet, very happy to just be there and excited about everything that was happening. Rightfully so. I mean, this was, you know, our dream come true.
Right. And they loved that, I'm sure.
Absolutely, they did. They saw us coming, like I said. And it's sad because, you know, you have a way for everybody. Well, I don't want to jump ahead, but you have a way for everyone to, on top of our success, to be financially successful and make sure that everyone involved, including the artists, including us, hello, make sure that we also get paid and get the lion's share of the money, or at least a share of the money. And we went.
Uh-oh. See, I don't know this part of the story, but I have a feeling
going. Yeah, it was terrible. It was bad. I mean, you're talking about one of the most iconic groups. We were the first girl group in the 90s, and every era has their own girl group. Or girl groups. The 60s, of course, we know, you know, the Shangri-Las, the Supremes, Martha and the Vandellas. Who else? The Ronettes. You know what I mean? The Shangri-Las did My Boyfriend's Back. The Crystals. I mean, they had all these girl groups that era. And then the 70s had Patti LaBelle. They had the Pointer Sisters, Sister Sledge. Yes. Oh my gosh. All these girl groups. Exactly. The Emotions.
Yes.
So every era has its girl groups. And we were, and the 80s kind of missed R&B. Yeah. There weren't too many R&B groups in the 80s, but there was still, it was the Cover Girls, it was Sweet Sensation. There was Exposé. Like, they had amazing songs. And then in the 90s, it was us. We were the first ones to hit. In 1990, we came out with Hold On.
Yes.
And you would think, because of our huge success and because we were a huge name, that the people around us would make sure that we were taken care of.
Yes.
Just like we were making sure that they were financially taken care of. But they did not. And that is what, I didn't see it at first. And if I did see it, I kind of ignored it because I was the only one to kind of think, okay, they're making a lot of money because of us, and whoa, they're making money too because of us, and we're not paid yet. But okay, we're on the road, and we're doing our thing, and we're traveling the world, and we're excited, and we're on the MC Hammer Tour, and the world is knowing, like, literally who Cindy, Terry, Maxine, and Dawn are. I'm not going to complain. I don't want to be the first one to complain. And then after a while, it was like, okay, now we're on our third album, which was Runaway Love.
Yes.
The money's still not there, but I know that we're in the millions now. We've sold on the first album, 5 million, 5 to 8 million. Second album, we started with this under the same terms as the first album. Where's the money? You know, yeah, we recorded Funky Divas under the same terms as Born to Sing.
Wow. That's not
cool.
Not right. No.
Yeah, not at all.
In the acting world, every season, and I would say like an album is probably a season, there's a renegotiating period.
You're supposed to, Sherry.
And
but in our case, it started out bad because it wasn't bad that Terry and our producer were dating, but that was one of the biggest reasons that we didn't renegotiate, because we didn't have Terry with us, because she was dating our producer. She didn't agree with what we wanted to do. Otherwise, she didn't want against. She felt like she didn't agree with what we wanted to do. It's always hard when you are in love with someone and you try to do business outside of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't see straight. You can't understand that, okay, what I have to do with you outside of our relationship, I have to do business. I have to separate that. Ooh, that's a hard thing to do when you're in love. You really have to be a woman about it, or a man, and you have to say, you know, because he did. As a man, he was renegotiating. He was taking care of himself and his business partner, his producer. So our two producers were Denzel Foster, Thomas McElroy. And Foster and McElroy took care of what they had to when it came to themselves.
Men do.
They renegotiated. I'm sorry?
I just said men usually do.
Yes, they can put aside that emotional, they can balance it out. This is business. This is my relationship. This has nothing to do with this. And they can do that very well. And Terry did not. So when it came to, by the time we got to Funky Divas, I was like, you guys, there's something wrong with this picture. We have sold millions of records, millions of albums, especially after that album. That was like, oof. When I left in 97, we had sold 28 million records, but we only made 2 pennies per record. 2 cents per girl. So 2 cents for Terry, 2 cents for Maxine, 2 cents for Cindy, 2 cents for me per record. That's what I'm saying. Terry didn't put her differences aside when it came to business. She was still so caught up emotionally with this man. It's like, okay, Terry, I know you love him. I get that, or whatever, even if it's not love. Whatever she was feeling had nothing to do with the business side with us. So the record company knew that we were free and clear. The four of us were free and clear from our production company, our production deal with Denny and Tommy. And that was, so Too Tough Enough Productions was our production company. That was Denny and Tommy, Denzel Foster, Thomas McElroy. Through them, we had a deal with Atlantic Records, but they were the go-between. So if you have, you have En Vogue, you've got Denny and Tommy, Too Tough Enough Productions in the middle, and then you got Atlantic Records. They were the middleman. So we didn't have a direct relationship to the record company. We only had these guys in the middle. Terry, because she was dating one of them, would not put her differences aside and say, you know what? I got to take care of business with my girls. So let's see. How did that go? So Foster McElroy, Thomas McElroy had a sister. Still has. I'm sure she's still alive. I haven't seen her in years. But Tony Granberry was the one who signed us to our production deal with them. She's the one who orchestrated all the paperwork, made sure that we were signed to them. And that we were beholden to them as a production company.
Right.
When they fired, either they fired Tony or she quit, but somehow we were free and clear from our production our production deal with them. When we found out we had another, so when we first started, we had an attorney. This was our second attorney. So we got rid of the first attorney and we had a second attorney, Stephen Barnes. And Stephen was a whip. When I tell you, he was incredibly intelligent when it came to the music business, and he was trying to tell us, you guys are free and clear from your production company, a production deal with Denny and Tommy. We were like, are you sure? He said, you are. Tony Granberry is no longer there. She was either fired or she quit. You guys are free and clear. This is your time to go directly to the label, to Atlantic Records, or just leave Atlantic and Too Tough Enough Productions altogether. And you guys are free and clear. And we were like, oh my God. When we found that out, I guess Terry went back and told her boyfriend / producer, Too Tough Enough Productions, that we were now free and clear. So they all of a sudden find this paperwork out of nowhere. Oh my God. We have to, they forged the signature of Tony Granberry saying that we were now, you guys are locked into this deal with us. And we were like, wait a minute. So when we looked at the signatures, we were like, okay, our attorney was like, no, you guys, this looks like it's forged. It looks like it's forged. You're going to have to get a handwriting analysis to come in and look at how the T's and the I's and all of that in Tony Granberry's name is signed. When she first signed us in 1989, this signature in 1997 is totally different, or 96, 95 is totally different then. And they were like, wow, you guys forged the signature. So we had a handwriting analysis come in. He said, oh yeah, this is totally different signature. This has nothing to do with the signature that you guys first had when you signed in 89. Exactly. So wow. He was like, you guys are free and clear. And when the record company found that out and Denny and Tommy found that out, they were like, oh my God. So instead of us saying, you guys, Cindy, Terry, Maxine, and Dawn, we are free. Let's go. Let's leave. Let's find another way. We can still work with Denny and Tommy. They could still produce songs on our record, but we are free and clear from them. Let's just go.
Now, absolutely. And become its own production company and have distribution through Atlantic the way we always have.
That would have been so, you just said exactly, we didn't know quite how to articulate it, but just what you said right now, Sherry, is very smart. We could have either done that or find out our options. What can we do right now in the interim? What is it? What's possible for us? Like you said, and I said to the girls a long time, this is probably 92, let's start our own production company. And Cindy said, that's too much work. I'm like, okay, let's start our own girl group. Like, let's do something like that. She's like, that's too much work. Okay, too much work. I don't understand what you mean by that, but we have to figure out how to not just be artists.
It's $300 in legal fees.
Exactly.
And it's coming up with some money to be able to pay your producers. And at that time, you guys were like this. So producers probably worked with you for back end money.
Exactly, for free. Just to be a part of the project. Excuse me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I wish I introduced myself. I'm gonna take this off.
That's okay. I'd have been like, hey, let me run in Vogue LLC.
Great.
This is Cherry's World.
This episode of Cherry's World Podcast is presented by Away Travel. Quite simply, Away makes everything you need for a trip away. Away started with the perfect suitcase and then built from there, creating a range of traveling standards developed from travel stories of friends and seatmates. Their pieces aren't smart, they're thoughtful, with features that solve travel problems to give the world access to better traveling standards. Away took the direct-to-consumer approach by lowering prices, and the quality is guaranteed. Your Away suitcase will be with you for life. We teamed up with Away at Podgo to give you the best deals on premium luggages by going to podgo.co/away. That's podgo.co/AWAY. Away Travel, here to make your journey seamless.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Hey, make sure you stick around after the show and learn more about Ray's Jukebox.
Cherry, if we had you around, or anybody, woman or man, that understood, we had a great attorney. Stephen Barnes was smart. I don't know. Very rare that you have a black attorney in the first place. He was not only our first attorney, Donald Wilson, was also intelligent, but Donald Wilson was tied to, a lot of times when you sign a deal, you have to be careful because your managers and your attorneys are sometimes bought out by the labels, the majors. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Donald Wilson didn't want to protect us as much as he could have because he knew that he had other artists coming through the doors of Atlantic Records, and he didn't want to cross Sylvia Roan. So it's I got to be very careful how I protect En Vogue, because I know that I'm going to have other artists come through the front door of Atlantic Records besides En Vogue. So he was very cautious and didn't want to shake, you know, what they say, you know, rock the boat. He just didn't want to do that. Yeah. So we just didn't have the right people telling us to where we could understand and not be afraid that if we cross Sylvia Roan, and we walked away free and clear from the label, that we were okay, that we were going to be okay and we wouldn't be sued. And as many people came in to try and tell us that, we still didn't hear it, or I heard it because I brought in someone to tell the girls the same thing. Yes, we're free and clear. Not only that, the attorney that I brought in after a while was Donald Passman, wrote a book that you probably have in your archives called All You Need to Know About the Music Business.
Damn, right? I got that. It's a blue book. I got that.
You got it. exactly. So even Courtney has it. Like, so I was trying to tell, I brought Donald Passman to the table. I said to the girls, this is Donald Passman. He is, at the time, he was representing Janet Jackson. And I said, Donald, can you please explain to the girls that we are free and clear? Now, I don't remember at what point I brought him in. So whether this was before or after the Funky Divas album, or after the Runaway Love album, which was our third album. It was really an EP. It wasn't a full album. Like, typically a full album would be about 11, 12 songs. This was only 6 or 7 songs. It was an EP, a shorter, and it was actually remixed, called Remix to Sing. So it was a remix of Hold On, Never Gonna Get It, Free Your Mind, Never Gonna Get It, Giving Them Something to Feel.
Jam!
It wasn't. Thank you so much.
Yes. And it was a
Yeah, oh my God, Cherry.
Ooh. I'm telling you, I look at that video, the same dress.
Well, you know what? Today, when I look at myself in that video, you start to see my confidence level. When I did Lies, if you look at Lies and Hold On, we were just kids. I was a total kid. I was just happy to be there. all of us were kids. Maxine was too nervous to even tell, like, if you look at the end of Hold On, she's holding her dress up with her knees. Her knees are, like, at first her legs are apart. She's doing her dance steps. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the video, her knees are together because she's trying to keep her dress down because it was coming up over time. And she was too nervous to tell the director, cut, let me pull my dress down. We just didn't know stuff like that. We didn't know, oh, my God. And there was no one on set saying, hey, one of the girls needs to pull her dress down. Somebody please cut. You know what I mean? We didn't have that confidence. So when I get to giving them something and feel, I can see my own confidence building. I can see a woman who's coming into her own. You know what I mean? I was like happy in my body. That sex appeal was coming out, like you talked about. It was coming out in that video. I saw it much more. But in Lies, I didn't feel that. I sang lead on Lies. You Don't Have to Worry. I didn't think we were sexy at all. None of us. Don't Go.
That was my favorite song.
Was it?
That's my favorite song of y'all's. All time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Don't Go or Don't Let Go?
No, Don't Go.
Don't Go. You know what? I've learned to respect or love that song now. I didn't like it at first.
Really?
Yeah, our producer Denny wanted me to sing lead on it, Courtney, and I was like, no, because I was too nervous. Lay me down upon my bed and make me feel the heat. I did not. I was coming out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was only 12 when that came out, and I used to keep it on repeat. Yeah, I used to love that joint.
Wow.
I'm an R&B dude. I love R&B, so that's my favorite.
Exactly. No, I think Terry did an amazing job on that song, but I was not going to sing those lyrics. Were too risque to me.
Yeah.
And Denny was like, okay, you don't want to sing it next, Terry? Come on, you sing it. And she just got in there and did a great job. But in the video, I just think we look beautiful. Yeah. I think, you know, the parts on the stage when we're in the desert, mm-hmm. We're in the black dresses again. You know, we just emanated sexuality. Yeah. And we were very confident. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I was like, oh, when I grow up, that's going to be me.
Gosh, thank you so much, Sherry. Oh my gosh,
I have a question for you. I'm sorry, I know, Courtney, go ahead.
That's all right.
Okay, I have a question for you. I know dating for me has been a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Growing up on TV, I can't
exactly
imagine what it's been like for you. You were on tour, you were a grown woman. Like, how hard is it to date your fans?
It's very hard because, well, the trust thing, I'm sure you feel the same way, Sherry. Like, it's hard to trust that when you meet someone, first of all, they already know your history. They know who the hell you are. It's not like strangers meeting. And oh my God, I love your face. Because that's what we see first of each other. Wow, he's handsome. Wow, she's beautiful. Or she's beautiful if you're a lesbian or if you're a gay guy. You know, guys see each other first. So you automatically have this affinity for one another, not knowing who each other is. In our case, as celebrities, people know us right away.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to, the trust thing for me has always been a problem. I've never really dated other celebrities. I just never did. I never dated other celebrities. I just dated everyday guys, you know what I mean? And I never said, oh my God, you have to have a certain status. Now I think I will do that because it probably put me in a precarious situation dating guys that were not celebrities because my ex-husband was jealous. First of all, well, he was kind of a celebrity, I guess. He was in a group called For Example, and they had a song, a moderate hit in the States, but it was a big song.
No shade, but we don't know him.
Oh my gosh.
No shade.
I know what you're saying. I know. But when he told me his song, I'd Rather Be Alone is the song. And I was like, oh, I remember that song. But it was much bigger overseas. It was much bigger in China. They were huge over there. Japan, I'm sorry, not China. So, but that issue. Exactly. It started to be competitive. He was competing with me. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Like, it's not like I can take back all the success that I've had over the years. You knew who I was when you married me or when you met me. And we got married way too soon too, but 3 months in, it was like, bam, and stupid, just dumb. But I thought he was an incredible songwriter. He used to write for Babyface. He wrote for, you know, As Yet, All for One, all those boy bands. So I just thought he understood the business that we're in and what an incredible writer. I was like, we can be Ashford Simpson, you know, the young Ashford Simpson, because he was just so prolific as a writer. He taught me, especially in the studio, when you don't have a budget, like, because I'm used to En Vogue budget. Really, there was no budget for us. We're just in the studio. We're having fun. We're recording, and it's not, there's no time stamp on anything. It's like, we could take as long as we wanted. And with him, he was like, we're on a budget. We got to get in here and get out. And so I had to learn how to write really quickly. He was really great about that. So, but the jealousy started to come out really quickly. And soon after we were married, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is ugly. Yeah. So we couldn't work that out. That relationship ended because of the physical abuse as well as the mental abuse and the jealousy. You can't get with someone. Now I know when you get into a relationship, you have to come with what you have to the table, and they have to have their own as well. I'm no longer going to date a guy who doesn't have his own. As far as, and I can't mm-hmm. say that they have to have the same kind of success as me. That's not going to be fair to someone. But if they, you got to at least have your own business. You have to have your own goals. You have to have, you know, what are you doing with your life? Recently, I was trying to talk to this guy online, and of course he knew who I was. And I was like, well, you wear suits every single day. You must have your own suit company. So we started talking, and wow, I just enjoy. He said, I enjoy hearing you speak and your interviews and all that stuff. And I love who En Vogue is. Of course, I know who you are, and I've always had a thing for you. And I was like, wow, and I love your suits. And do you have a suit company? He's like, no, I work for a suit company. I'm not going to put him on blast. But he didn't have his own thing. But he said, but I do have endeavors. I was like, okay, well, what are you doing with yourself? So we got on the phone and started talking like that. And it came down to it that I said, well, where's your business proposal, right? Where's your business proposal? And he said, oh, I'll send it to you. So he emailed it to me. And I was like, okay, if I was an investor, I wouldn't want to invest in you because you don't have, there's nothing on paper that looks like, wow, this guy has incredible dreams. He's got incredible vision. You know, he's got like, oh my God. I said, so let me help you. And so this is the thing. I sent him my business proposal.
That's a dream.
Exactly. I sent him my business proposal because I said, this is what it looks like. There's color. There's photos of me within Vogue, of course. There's photos of me by myself. There's photos of me and Lissy Pearl. I have the history of En Vogue. I have the history of Lissy Pearl, and I've got my history and what I want to do. And I have a budget in here that tells them, this is, if you're investing in me, this is what you're going to get for my future endeavors. You know what I mean? And then you have a section at the end, meet the artist. And I thank them, excuse me, first of all, for taking my proposal into consideration, taking out the time in their busy day to even say that they were interested in investing in me. And I hope this can work out. This is not just a dream of mine. This is for everyone involved to see this thing come to fruition. I will help you put your business proposal together.
I'm sorry. I just said return. Look, she is dropping some jewels. We're gonna drop her Cash App down here. I need y'all to bless my girl because you're giving out free game. You done taught us about the production company distribution, and now she's teaching you about the return of investment. Okay.
Thank you so much. Return on investment. Thank you so much, Sherry. I asked you to do that, so I'm just gonna let the fans know. I asked you if you could drop that for me. So I appreciate you doing that. I was like, okay, let me read that for you, and then I can help you. You read mine and see what I mean, because I'm not just putting you down. I'm just telling you, you need to embellish your, make them excited about wanting to invest in you. And he was like, okay, and I'm still waiting. And this was like 2 years ago that I wanted him to read mine. When you look at mine, you can see, wow, okay, I understand what she wants me to do. Make this exciting for people to say, you are worth investing in. And I will help you do it if you don't know how. And I still never got a call from him. I kept asking him, so have you read mine yet? Have you looked at it? Did you look it over? You didn't even have to read it, but you could see my photos and how much color I have. I had the headlines for the section. So the section for En Vogue says, well, so I have an executive summary, mission statement, executive summary, En Vogue history, Lissy Pearl history, a budget, and then my own history, what I'm going to do with the money once I get it. So I said to him, have you looked at it? What do you think? And he's like, oh, man, you know, I really? You haven't looked at it? Okay. And every day, Cherry, after work, he would call me. I'm playing this song. Who's this right now? Who's playing? And I'm listening to the music. I'm like, oh my God, that's Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sunshine. Oh man, I can't stump you. Who's this? And you play another song. And we would play songs for hours. And then he would fall asleep on the phone at like 2 a.m. for him. And I'm like, you have to go to work tomorrow. You need to, oh no, I'm good. I'm good. And then he's snoring. And I would hang up the phone. Every day that would happen. So you get off the phone with me. I'm sorry. You get on the phone with me after work, but you still haven't looked at my budget. You still haven't looked at my proposal. You still haven't figured out how to make your proposal better. Dawn, I did this. Why don't you check this out for me? He didn't have the, you gotta have your own shit. Yeah. He didn't care about putting that together. No, he just was like, okay.
He was trying to be Mr. Don Robinson.
Exactly. I said to him,
equally yoked.
That's right, Cherry. And I sent him some dates that I had on the table. And he's like, yeah, I need to be on the road with you. And that's when I was like, okay, no, this is over. This is done. No, you don't need to be on the road with me. You need to be doing your own thing at home. You need to have your own endeavors. I saw it right then. Just like you said now, he was trying to be Miss Dawn Robinson. Yes, and that never works.
I just want to be a house husband.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I've had some weird shit.
Wow, that's awful. That's awful because...
That's okay. Look, it's called Stupid Guy Diaries. So you just...
Yes, exactly. Well, but my thing is, don't they know that you're smart enough to see through that? Like, don't... thank you for telling me, first of all, because you could have put up a veneer and make me think we're going to be something else when we're together. And then you turn out to be, what he said, a house husband. So, and it's different when you guys have agreed on that. If you guys have kids together and he wants to stay home with the kids, hey, more power to him. Because children, I think, of celebrities need somebody in the house if they're going to be home. What's her name? I was going to say Aretha Franklin, but Gladys Knight told us very early on, I want to say it was our first year out, and we were at our first award show in the Bay Area. And she said, oh my gosh, I love y'all. She said, because you're classy ladies. She said, but I'm going to give you my only advice that I always tell every artist, whether they're solo or a group. You may have to be the artist, and you're also going to have to wear the hat of mother. You might also have to wear the hat of a wife, but you also have to be the businesswoman. She said, and don't leave your kids at home. She said, I took my son,
Shenga.
Yes, exactly. But her niece as well. What's her niece's name?
Oh.
Her niece was always on the road with her. Her niece was her manager for a while. Like, yeah, she said, but I always took the kids on the road, my own kids as well, on the road, because they get to see the world in the way that probably, she said, kids that are in the military get to see the world because they travel with their parents a lot. She said, so don't leave your kids at home because they get to be with you and they also get to be on the road. And you got stagehands, you got the band, you got everybody's going to help you raise those kids together. You know what I mean? So, and they get to see parts of the country, let alone the world, that normal kids in a 9-to-5 situation are staying at home, going to school 9-to-5, sleeping in the same bed. That there's positives and negatives to both. And I was like, wow, that just makes a lot of sense. She said, but don't not be the businesswoman. Don't not have kids just because you think, oh, I can't do both. I can't be a businesswoman and a mother. Yes, you can. She was telling us all that, giving us knowledge. You know what I mean?
Are you a mommy?
No, I'm not. No.
I am, and my daughter's always on the road with me. So.
Really? Good for you. You only have one child?
Oh, yeah. I only have
one. Yeah. Oh, that's so good, though, Sherry. Yeah, I always wanted kids, so it didn't happen, but I think I'm still going to adopt. I'm going to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Because you need money to adopt, money for any child, but to adopt requires money, you know, and I hate to say that it's like you're buying a child, but yes, you have to pay the agency.
Yeah.
Yes. It's insane. It's insane. Which is why I think a lot of times kids that are adopted feel like, wow, nobody cared about me. They gave me up for adoption and someone bought me. Like, wow, that has to hurt. But no, I loved you. I wanted you to have love. That's why I have you in my life. You were worth me putting whatever money that took to do that. But yeah, I want to adopt children.
Can you,
so I'll be like Josephine Baker. Yes. Hey, Courtney.
Hey, can you talk to me about making the intro for Mr. Cooper and also being on A Different World. What was that experience like for y'all?
Both of those were a lot of fun. Terry and Holly Robinson are actually, they became best friends when they met on the set of Hanging with Mr. Cooper. That's when they really started hanging out. And I forgot how they proposed that to us, but I guess they just said, you know, we want you guys to do, there's a new show coming out, and we want you to do the title song for the show. And when we heard it, it was just super cute. So we got to sing. Holly's actually singing on there, and so is Dawn Lewis.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. And then, what's his name? Hanging Cooper. What's
Mark
his name?
Mark Curry.
Hello, Mark Curry. Oh my God. Funny, you guys. Just hilarious on set. We really had Dawn is too. I mean, they're all funny. So it was really hard for us to get through that whole scene. And we had to pick him up at a certain point and carry him off. We kept dropping him. Stuff like that. Like, yeah, those are good memories. Wow. Thank you for bringing that up.
At a different world.
Thank you so much, Courtney. In a different world. Oh, my God. So I am sure that Sherry has met and worked with Debbie Allen. I am so flubbing it today. Debbie Allen. Genius. Because each of us was supposed to be blind as heck. We had these glasses on and we kept. And so she said, I said to her, Debbie, I'm not sure how to play Henrietta. Henrietta, that in itself is a character. Just right there, you can see what Henrietta is supposed to be, just with her name. But I said, I can't get it. I really don't know, like, where I'm supposed to be and how I say these lines. And she said, don't just push your glasses up. Just keep doing that and get right in everybody's faces. When you're talking to them, you're kind of like looking at them so closely, like, okay, this is Cindy. Well, Cindy's name was different in the show. This is Max. You know, you just look at them like that, like go from the chin all the way up. Just look. I was like, oh my God. And so that's what I do whenever I'm on the set and I'm in those scenes, I'm doing that same thing. So that was a blast. When we were filming, I was supposed to, anytime the girls were at the top of the stage at the end, because we were sassy, we had no glasses on, and we were supposed to be sexy, but we were still inside. We were these goofy bookworms. But now we're showing our sex appeal the way that someone who really doesn't know how to show sex appeal was showing it. And so we're overdoing it, and the movements were too big. And oh my God, it was all that. And then she said, anytime the girls are at the top of the stage, doing Free Your Mind, I think, or whatever the lyrics were, we changed the lyrics. But when they're at the top of the stage, you go to the bottom of the stage. When you guys go, when all of you guys move to the bottom and they turn around and go back up to the top, you stay at the bottom because you don't know that they're gone. And you're like, oh, because you can't see them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're blind as heck. You don't have your glasses on. So, oh my God, the girls are gone. So now I got to run to the top of the stage and I'm doing the movements. And all of a sudden the girls go back down and I'm like, oh, they're down there. So now I go, you know, so each time they move, I come back and do something opposite of them. She was really key in showing us how to develop a character on the spot. You're talking about, I didn't go to school to become an actress. You know what I mean? I'm a singer. That's what I do. I didn't go, you know, and even with, by the time we did, what is that other show with Wanda?
Oh, Living Color.
Living Color, exactly. We still didn't know how to hold in our laughter. I don't know how you guys do it, Sherry, because you're talking about Jamie freaking Fox, and you're talking about shoes. I have a yellow pillow here. His shoes, I have two yellow pillows, but his shoes were about as big as this freaking pillow. They were huge. I don't know how they found these women's shoes that were going to fit this man's size 13. There were boats. And so even just seeing him on set, like, oh my God. And then he had on these yellow panties. They were bloomers. So every time you would go through the window to leave, all right, then. I don't want, okay. He would go, oh my God, his panties. Just looking at the panties. Yeah, stuff like that. That was hard. You got to be able to contain what they call, what Sherry, the third wall.
Yes.
You can't break the third wall. Exactly. Yes. And we're learning all that as we go.
You did an excellent job.
Thank you so much.
I have to cut it off, but we're about to, our time is almost up with you, but I can't let you go without finding out about your book.
My book is, I was going to say, Born to Sing, Lord have mercy. My book is Break of Dawn, and My Two Cents is the subtitle because of the two pennies per record. Break of Dawn. And that, I'm working on that now. I hope to have that out by first quarter this year. So March, April, something in there. But no, well, first quarter, January, February, March. So somewhere in there.
I just want to pay you a compliment as well. Like, I grew up and I loved y'all in that red dress and... Yeah, you did a lot for this teen when I was a teenager. You did a lot for me. And Lucy Pearl, wow, too. That was one of my favorite groups. Yeah. I think that working with Raphael Sadiq, that's, I used to manage artists, and I used to always say, like, working with R. Kelly, Babyface, and Raphael Sadiq, as far as, like, I'm making an R&B song, is the best way to go. So you...
Raphael and I have known each other since he was 16. I was 16. He was in my band. Unfortunately, that situation with Lucy Pearl, as genius as it was, Courtney, because I feel Lucy Pearl more. I love In Vogue, don't get me wrong, but I really feel, because we created the look, the sound, and likeness of Lucy Pearl, I feel more affinity for that group. But Raphael just didn't have my back the way he should have. But that's another day, another time I can come back and talk to you guys about that. And thank you so much for having me.
Are you kidding me? Thank you so much for just saying yes. I still am so excited. I'm going to be high all night.
Oh my God, me too, Sherry. And I adore you. I do know your shows. Absolutely, I know your work.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Girl, I can't wait to have you back.
Oh my God, I can't wait to come back. Take care. I can't believe an hour went that fast. I was most time dealing with this freaking shirt. Let me show you. Yes, this is my, what's her name? It is Frida Kahlo t-shirt. And I cut it up this morning, but I didn't cut it right. And sorry. So you guys watch me struggle with this shirt all day. But yeah, thank you so much, Sherry. Cherry, it's a pleasure meeting you. I'm honored. Courtney, yeah, same here, you guys. I can't wait to talk to you soon.
You're incredible.
Thank you. You are as well.
Questions I didn't get to ask you. Like, I remember when you were in the studio with Dr. Dre. I want to know about that.
It was a lot.
Please come back.
I would love to. We don't have to rush it. There's plenty of time. You guys have me back anytime. I would love to.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
This is Cherry's World.
How long have you been working on the station?
Not that long, actually. It started last summer around June, and the station was born. It was really born out of the pandemic, really. If it weren't for this pandemic, the jukebox probably wouldn't exist. But I've always had a passion for music, but I never really seriously did any DJing. But, you know, everybody started doing the Zoom parties, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I could do this. So, you know, I started setting up and having my own Zoom party. And I said, but you, it got to a point where I was like, okay, everybody is doing this. I gotta find my niche. I gotta do something different. I gotta think out the box. And I said, you know what? I don't know nobody that just up and got their own radio station. So, you know, I got a cousin that's kind of doing something similar, got in his ear a little bit and went online, started researching it, and boom, I just started putting it together like pieces of a puzzle. It just started fitting together, and here we are.
And what is your business background?
My business background, by trade, I am an accountant. So I've spent, you know, 20 plus years in the corporate world. I work for a small nonprofit right now as a controller. But yeah, my background is in finance and accounting.
That makes sense. So you looked at the numbers. He was like, I ain't going to just do no Zoom show. We're going to make this make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I'm working on the return on investment for sure.
Is this... So you play music as well. Is it licensed music?
I'm sorry.
Is it licensed music? Do the people get streams for it?
Yeah, so it's just like listening to the radio. It's not on demand, so it's not like you can go and select what you want to hear. It's just like turning on the radio And, you know, I got a playlist going. I listen to every song all the way through before I play it on the air, because I want my station to be clean. You know, I do got some songs in the rotation that if you just heard the regular version of it, it'd be like, eh. But, you know, I take the time, I clean it up. Because, I mean, if it's a hot track, I want to play it and people want to hear it. But I just choose, you know, not to hear, you know, the foul language and certain expressions that I think might offend people, or at least, you know, my friends and family, because that's a big part of my audience right now.
So you're not playing like Cardi B's WAP?
No, I'm not playing that one.
That's good to know, because as a mother, I don't want my kid listening to it.
Right, exactly.
Cardi don't want my kid listening to it either.
Right, but I do got Megan's body on there. I just got it cleaned up.
I actually like that song. Are you a father?
I am a father. I have two kids. My daughter is in her early 20s. I can't believe it. It don't even feel right to say that. And then my son, he's 8 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, elementary school. So
daddy's girl. So yeah. Is daddy's girl working for the radio station?
No, my daughter, she's a nurse. She's in nursing. So that's what she wanted to do. Yeah.
Go ahead, baby girl. And how are you handling that during the pandemic?
It can be a challenge. You know, I try to be there for her as much as I can. And in fact, I have a song that I recorded years ago, you know, back in the days when I had, you know, dreams of being a rapper. But it was a song that I wrote for her. And it kind of puts you in the same frame of mind. If you remember, Will Smith did a song for his son called Just the Two of Us. It's kind of that same vibe. And I'm just talking to her like, yo, I've always got your back no matter what happens. Listen, and as a father, I'm gonna let you know this is gonna happen. You're gonna go through this, but I got you. I'm there. So, you know, I just try to keep in communication with her. You know, she's out of the house and everything. I keep in contact with her, and we talk about what's going on. If she ever needs something, you know, I'm right there. You know, I don't believe in loaning my daughter money. If she needed it, I just give it to her. So,
daddy.
Yeah, but the main thing with her being in nursing, you know, of course, I'm concerned about her safety and being on the front lines and all like that. So I just, you know, just try to make sure she's taking every precaution she can. But, you know, she's doing what she loves. So, you know, I have to support that.
Getting back to Jukebox. Now, you just said that when you were, and he whispered, a rapper. You've had a love of music for a long time, right?
Yeah.
How long ago were you a rapper?
Man, young cat. I mean, I started rapping, you know, middle school, high school, you know, getting in the ciphers at the bus stop, all that, you know, with my cousin, he'd be making beats. You know, we perform for the family reunions and the anniversary parties and all, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. As I got older, it got to the point where I was like doing talent shows, stuff like that. And, you know, I made a few recordings. In fact, back in the day here in Detroit, there was a show on 96.3. It was called Open Mic Night, and it was a DJ named Lisa. Not the singer Lisa, but another Lisa. And it's so funny because I just recently reconnected with her. So I'm hoping to do an interview with her, get her on the show. But anyway, my point in bringing that up is, you know, I was on that open mic night, and I would go down there, you know, every month or so, and would just be on the air rapping. And so, you know, at one time it was like, yeah, I really thought I could do this. But obviously my path didn't go that way. It's been a long time now since I've written anything like that, but I do a lot of poetry and I do write R&B now as well.
But are you giving those underground or not as well-known artists the opportunity to get some spins on Ray's Jukebox?
Absolutely, I am. This is a great place for emerging artists. In fact, a lot of the artists that you'll hear just listening to my station are artists that I came across either on Instagram or Facebook. And it's, you know, artists that are not well known, you know, nationally or anything like that, that aren't signed to a label or anything like that. But again, hot music. And so I'm definitely putting it out there. So I'll give you an example. Back earlier this month, I aired an interview with a singer named Nessa Dove. Amazing artist. She's got a voice that is amazing. And I found her on Instagram. So, you know, I reached out to her. She agreed to an interview. She's got 3 songs in rotation on the station right now that are just amazing. So, yeah, local artists, for sure. Unknown artists, they're trying to get out there, trying to get that exposure. I got them. It's not just, you know, the very commercially popular music, but this is definitely a home for those about to blow artists as well.
Shout out your Instagram account real quick so they know how to get in touch with you.
Definitely. So I can be found on Instagram at ThisDJHeCool. ThisDJHeCool. I'm on Facebook, same thing, ThisDJHeCool. And of course, the website, RaysJukebox.com.
Who's your favorite artist out of Detroit?
My favorite artist out of Detroit.
I'm talking about, you can go way back or you can go current, anything.
Wow. You know, M was pretty legendary. You know, I would say he's probably the most noteworthy, but I mean, I'm a fan of going back in the day, Adina Howard, Boss back in the day.
Rapper Boss?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know she was from Detroit.
I'm pretty sure. You know, if memory serves me correctly, I'm a fan of Kid Rock. So, you know, those of course, Big Sean. In fact, I got Wolves in rotation right now, cleaned up. But yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So. I love it. Okay, so tell us about this first Sunday of every month.
Yeah, so my live show is the first Sunday of every month. I call it New Month, New Music Sunday. And that's where I showcase anywhere from 20 to about 30 new songs. And when I say new, they were just released within the last month or two. So I'm always constantly out there looking, okay, what just dropped? And I see stuff on my phone, I take a screenshot of it, and then later I go, you know, pull it up, listen to it. And if it's hot, I put it on the list and feature it on the next show. So now, of course, the first Sunday in February is the Super Bowl. So I ain't trying to compete with the Super Bowl, so I'm gonna push it back a week for February. But any other time, it'll be the first Sunday every month. New month, new music Sunday.
Hey, you know, radio is so legendary. You know, it's, I mean, just growing up, that was just everything, radio. And then it kind of like took a hiatus. You know, I think it got kind of corrupt and crooked. And then so it kind of like people didn't actually go to radio to actually get the music and everything, because everything's like kind of on demand. Mm-hmm. But it's something to being able just to turn on the radio and let the radio just do all the work. What made you actually decide just like, hey, I'm gonna bring radio back? Because it's kind of like, you know, with podcasts and just mm-hmm. people has their own way of being able to get their music now. So like, what made you decide that this is gonna be the route for you?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I love the way I feel when I see somebody reacting to a song that they love. You know what I mean? Especially like in the DJ arena, even though I haven't done a lot of gigs, but you know, that feeling when I do a transition just right and everybody get live, or I throw a song on that people forgot about was the jam. And you know, they get up out, they see like, oh, I gotta dance to this. So with taking it to radio, and that's where actually where the name jukebox comes from. Mm-hmm. Because what is a jukebox is where you go and you make your selection of what you want to hear. Right. So in addition to featuring artists that may not be well known, I also am open to accepting requests. Now, you know, on a regular radio, it can be hard to get through and get a request played. But if somebody dropped me a message on Facebook or Instagram, or tapped the email link and say, hey, could you, you know, play this artist, or could you play this? I immediately look it up. And if it's, you know, if it's clean enough for me to spin it, I play. Even if I don't personally like it, I still spin it, because just because I don't like it, that don't mean that there's not 100 people who don't, who do like it. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's where the name jukebox come from. It gives them a measure of control over what they hear.
Okay. Now, what you mean, being an accountant, you ain't gonna get caught up in this in the payola.
No, man. I'm legit, 100% legit, for sure.
Now, Ray's Jukebox, is it something that we can go on there and find 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or does it have hours?
Well, the station has grown. There was dead air in between. My live shows were weekly when I first started. Mm-hmm. And there was dead air in between. So since December 1st is when I went 24/7. So now if you are up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're like, hey, oh, I want to get a workout in, boom. Click on the jukebox. You got some music to work out to. You up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, to go in the radio station or something like that, tap on the jukebox. If you driving home, your phone synced up to your system, you can listen to the jukebox driving home 24/7.
And that's RaysJukebox.com.
RaysJukebox.com, that's right.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I have to admit, last night, I'm one of those people who don't sleep as much as we should. And I had a little jam session myself at RaysJukebox.com.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that's why I asked you, like, you don't play Cardi B's Whopper. I was like, well, maybe it's just in the middle of the night. That's why he didn't.
Yeah, no, there is a selection process. Some things I won't play. You know, if I think it's sending a message that's too far to the left or to the right, I won't play it, you know. So, you know, I do have that control in place. And the thing is managing expectations. So that's one of my catchphrases is, we play everything but not anything. So everything meaning, you know, any genre, there's country on there, there's jazz on there, there's R&B, there's hip hop, there's pop, Afro beats. I mean, all across many genres, but I ain't gonna just throw anything on there.
Yeah, you definitely have a radio voice too.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah, you sound like you do this, you know.
Oh, wow, oh, I appreciate that. Well,
yeah, man.
So what's next for Ray's Jukebox?
What's next is, as I grow the station, well, one thing that I'm doing is I'm getting into doing some interviews, and I'm really starting to develop more segments now where it's not just the music itself. So I mentioned the interview I did with singer Nessa Dove. My February live show is going to feature an interview I recently did with Father MC. Got another interview that's going to air after that with Mr. Teron Brooks, who many are familiar with by playing Eddie Kendricks in the Temptations movie. He's also a phenomenal singer. Got a really nice song out right now that's in rotation. So that's one thing that I'm getting into is the interviews. And another thing is I've partnered up with a couple who is doing a really nice video podcast on YouTube that's kind of analyzing music. and they're kind of like going back and forth and comparing, and it's a really interesting how they put their perspective on it. And so I'm kind of partnering with them to become like they're the movie, I'm the soundtrack. So that's going to be a segment. And eventually from there, I hope to just bring on more DJs and have different personalities involved besides just myself.
That is dope.
That is definitely awesome. And I'm excited and I'm looking forward to seeing it grow. Courtney, do you have anything else for Mr. Ray? Can you hear us, Court?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, sorry about that. Do you have anything else for Mr. Ray?
No, well, you know what? I do want to ask, how's Father MC, man? I used to be a big fan of Father MC. How's he doing?
Oh, man, he's doing good. You know, I asked him, you know, was everybody good, you know, with the COVID and everything? He said his family, everybody's good. So I was glad to hear that. Super excited, man. He's got a new album about to drop like any minute now. And, you know, he sent me a couple of tracks. This kid, man, this is one talented cat. Cool, laid back, coolest cat you ever want to meet, man. But we had a real interesting conversation. We had an interesting conversation.
Can we listen to that or find it anywhere?
Well, there's one song in rotation right now. In fact,
I'm talking about the interview.
Oh, the interview. The interview is going to air on my February 14th show. So that's going to be at
Valentine's Day.
It absolutely is. So the show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. And so that's when that interview will be aired.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you want your audience to know, Ray?
Just want my audience to know that, hey, this is a great radio station. You can listen anytime you listen to music. Jump on the Race Jukebox right now. You got great songs, new music, great throwbacks, all clean. It's a great time. The party is where you are when you're listening to Race Jukebox.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.